Today's word is, what's our sermon title today? Our kinsman redeemer. Our kinsman redeemer. There are some cultures today that use the word kinsman and etc. more than others. How many have been broken by sin? Let's see the hands. You've been broken by sin. And I see many witnesses. How many of you have been cured from sin? We may not be entirely cured from every last one yet, but you've been cured from sin. The Lord has lifted you up and you're doing much better than you were before. Let me see the hands. Yeah, we have testimonies. Praise God. When we raise those hands, by the way, let me say it. Because sometimes, because we might not say it. When you raise those hands, you're saying glory to God. It's not for pride. It's not for show. You're saying glory to God and you're putting the devil to shame. That Jesus redeems sinners. Amen. And if he would have humbled himself, he would have been redeemed too. But we are redeemed and continue to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Broken by sin. No. Here's the next question I want to ask you. And that will come up later on too in the discourse. How many of you can pay for your sin? How many can afford to pay for your sin? There's not a single witness. Because we know there's only one sin bearer. There's only one who can pay for our sin. And there is one who has paid for our sins. And his name is Jesus. I'm here today to lift up Jesus. Amen. And we have the emblems that will soon be placed on the table for us that reflect what Jesus did for us. I want to start out right where the scripture reading left off in Leviticus chapter 25. And before we go there, I'd like to pray. Jeff, you bow your heads with me. Our holy God and Father in heaven, your love for us is great. Today, Lord, at this high service, a high Sabbath, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, communion service, oh Jesus, we ask that we will worship you today. May each of us reach out to you, Lord, like we haven't done in the past week or the past days or the past month. May we reach out to you today, Lord, in praises and in thanksgiving because you deserve it. Oh Lord, open our eyes that we may see wondrous things out of your book. And may we be drawn closer to Christ and surrender all to you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Our scripture reading, and thank you, Teresa, for doing our scripture reading. It's coming from Leviticus 25, 47 through to 50. And I'll just read it again for emphasis. Because sometimes these passages, we don't spend a whole lot of time with them. But they're important too. The word of God says, and if a sojourner or a stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family. And by the way, for our reasoning today, Satan is that stranger that wax rich. And we have all been sold to Satan. Sold under sin. That will come up later on in Romans chapter 7 verse 14, the second half. Paul used the term there, sold under sin. We have all been sold under sin. God gave to Adam and Eve the first dominion. You see the term first dominion in Micah 4 verse 8. God gave to Adam and Eve the first dominion. Genesis 1:26. And let us make men in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, over every animal, over everything that creeps on the earth. God gave Adam and Eve the first dominion. And when they sinned, we were all sold under sin. Every single human being has the sinful nature that passed from Adam and Eve to us. And so we were sold out to this stranger. Satan, the usurper, usurped the power that God gave to Adam and Eve. and he's sown a tear of the sinful nature in the human experience, and we all suffer from it. And so he's a stranger. And so verse 48 says, and he that is sold, he may be redeemed again. Don't somebody say thank God for that? He may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. And one of our brethren came to redeem us. He's Christ, our elder brother. He came to redeem us. Look at verse 49. And as I say, you'll see how it applies. There are parts that don't apply. There are other parts that do apply. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin. And this is where the ARV, for example, uses the term the kinsman redeemer. Or if he be able, and we already just found out that none of us is able to redeem ourselves. We just found that out, right? And then verse 50 says, and he shall reckon with him that bought him from the year that he was sold unto the year of the Jubilee. Because the Jubilee was a time when every land that was sold returned to the original owner. Because that was God's plan to protect the welfare of everyone in Israel. It protected from some becoming too wealthy. Did you know that God prevented that in Israel? His plan was to prevent people from becoming too wealthy, or the opposite of becoming too poor. Ellen White talks about that. You should do some reading on that, what she says. It was God's plan. And today you see the greed, where some people own so much and others own so little. 1% of the world's population owns 90% of the world's wealth and resources. 1%. God was protecting against that with his system. And there's no better system on earth. And so when you look at this, it says that he should pay whatever it is up to the time of the Jubilee. And the price of his sale shall be according to the number of years, according to the time of an hired servant, shall it be with him. There is a cost. There was a price to be paid. And we even have it in song, Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Those songs, I tell you, those songwriters were very near inspiration, because those words are so powerful, they are so true. They're very true and very powerful. So, as you see, the title of my sermon today is Our Kinsman Redeemer. That title is also a title for our Lord Jesus Christ. It reflects a role he carried out to save us. And I testify today that Jesus continues to redeem me by his own blood. John calls it the blood of the Lamb. He continues to redeem me. And the greatest debt I owe on earth is not a student loan or a car loan or a mortgage or some specialized kind of surgery. Those are pretty expensive, aren't they? The biggest debt I owe is my sin debt. The truth is, I can't afford to pay that debt. I am a broke man. I'm in abject poverty when it comes to paying for my sins. And if you think I'm alone, I think you're in the same category. We already did the survey, and everyone found out, Sharon, that no one here is able to pay for their sins. No one. Do you know what the Bible says is the wages? That's another term for payment of sin. You know it. And I heard two people just echo it. In Romans 6 and verse 23, Paul says, for the wages, for the payment of sin is, and that death is the second death, by the way. When we die and go to the grave, that's a byproduct of sin. The real payment for sin is the second death. And Paul says, for the wages of sin is death. But, I like that but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ is our deliverer. Jesus Christ is our hero. Jesus Christ is the payer of our debts. Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. You know, back when he walked on earth, his disciples eventually realized who he was. Question is, who is Jesus to you? I want to say today that Jesus Christ is the source of all true light. Jesus is the source of all true love. And Jesus Christ is the source of all true healing. Amen? His self-sacrifice on the cross meant that God would do whatever it takes to save us. And he did. Amen? He did. What was the response of the disciples to what God has done? In the book Ministry of Healing, page 104, quote, they were to shed abroad the light of his gospel of love and healing. And the Savior promised that his presence would be always with them. Through the Holy Spirit, he would even be nearer to them than when he visibly walked among men. End of quote. They were to spread the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we sometimes think that gospel outreach and evangelism is an event. And we tend to think of it that it's something set aside for pastors and elders. Yeah, it's pastors and elders who do evangelism. But not so in God's book. We must all evangelize or soon we will fossilize. Evangelize or fossilize. True? Somehow we think that the disciples back then had a spiritual advantage over us. We tend to think that because they physically walked with Jesus, they had an advantage. But didn't Brother Judas physically walk with Jesus? But it didn't profit him at all. Are we like Brother Judas? We could be in the Seventh-day Adventist Church claiming to walk with Jesus, whether for a long time or for a short period of time, and end up being like Brother Judas, or in the early church like Sister Sapphira. Remember Sister Sapphira? Ananias and Sapphira? We could end up being like them. And what a terrible shame that would be, that we came to church in Elmira Sabbath after Sabbath. We went to evangelism study groups on Monday nights. We went out in the community to share literature and good things with others so they can come to Christ. We return faithful tithes and offerings unto God. And in the end, we end up like Brother Judas or Sister Sapphira. May we really draw close to God. Amen? Well, I want to testify to you that my quest is to seek the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. And something I've discovered and by experience and I've also read in inspiration is that we will receive the Holy Spirit to the extent we desire him to be in our lives. So if we pray a little, we'll receive a little of the Holy Spirit. If we seek the Holy Spirit with intensity of desire, he will fill us to the full. We need a baptism of the Holy Spirit now. What do you say? Have you been redeemed by our kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ? As you are in church today, seated right where you are, and whether you are here literally or you are online, virtually, be sure to connect with Christ, our kinsman redeemer. Pray today about your redemption. Don't leave your spot today until you have been redeemed. Amen? Talk with Jesus. Each of us is able to pray. Prayer. What is prayer? Ellen White says that prayer is the key in the hand of faith. that unlocks heaven's boundless resources. Are you unlocking heaven's boundless resources of redemption? There's way much more that God has for us than many of us appropriate in our lives. Jesus doesn't want us to wait for the second coming to have peace. And Sabbath School made that clear today. God wants us to experience peace now by having patience in Him, hope in Him, love for Him. And when we follow God fully, we will have peace no matter what happens around us. Amen? Do you know that God wants us to have physical healing now? He doesn't want all of us to wait for His second coming to get that final healing. He wants to heal us now. Mental healing, physical healing, spiritual healing. And God wants us to be good financiers. Financial healing. He wants us to manage the resources very well. So my encouragement to you today on a high service like this is to pray. Pray right where you are. You know, when Job felt the pain of isolation, beginning in Job chapter 19 and verse 14, Job cried out, "My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me." Verse 17, "My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of my own body." And then he concludes in verse 25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." End of quote. Job went through the trials too. And we will go through our own trials, maybe not to the extremity that Job did. But Job is a character that is of encouragement to all of us who expect to roll down to the time of trouble, that this nation, free America, will one day begin, and the entire rest of the countries on the globe, Spirit of Prophecy says, will follow America's example. We are in some serious times, but we need to stick close to Christ, our kinsman redeemer. He is the one of whom Job spoke. And Jesus did fulfill Job's expectation, because 2,000 years ago, Jesus literally set foot on this earth and walked this way as a human being. And in these latter days, Christ is going to stand upon this earth once again with His redeemed people from all the ages. Now, all human beings have been, according to Romans chapter 7 verse 14, be sold under sin. All human beings. But you know what? All those who will accept God's wonderful provisions, I want you to know today that our kinsman redeemer Jesus has bought us back. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. "For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." They belong to God. Jesus is the redeemer of the universe. Jesus is the redeemer of angels. Jesus is the redeemer of the world itself. Jesus is the redeemer of all humanity. And individually, Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. There's no one that has the capacity to love you like Jesus does. He loves us dearly. And in His love, He said in Revelation 3 verse 3, "Remember then what you have received and heard. Keep it and repent." Repentance. When last did you seek repentance and experience repentance? Metanoia is that Greek word for repentance. To have godly sorrow over your wrongs. When last did you look in the mirror and you really got afraid of yourself? Because you realize how sinful you are. And then you look at Jesus and you found peace in him because he's so merciful. Repentance. Jesus says to keep that which you have received and repent. He says, if you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. End of quote. And here's a thought for you. How did you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? Where were you when you heard it first? What did you hear? What has the gospel of Jesus Christ done for you? And in truth, have you received the everlasting gospel in your life? Jesus knows everything about your religious experience. Jesus knows who you love and who you serve. Have you been born again? And if you have been born again, do you remember the joy, the gladness that you first receive when you first receive the light from heaven? Do you remember that joy? Do you remember the peace that flooded your soul? Can you recall how eager you were to tell everyone you meet of the Savior Jesus Christ? Jesus is counseling us today to hold fast to the comfort, the faith, the hope, the love that God has given you in his word. Our kinsman redeemer is Jesus Christ. He is with us, so never be discouraged. If you experience sorrow, it should only be in repentance that Christ had given his life for you. So waste no more time, no more years of your life in the work of darkness. Let Christ be your kinsman redeemer. Let Christ deliver you from every bit of service to the enemy. Use every talent of yours to the glory of God. Now, it is only a kinsman redeemer who could redeem someone from debt, from slavery, and from landless poverty back in Old Testament times. Heard a story this past weekend while we were at the annual church retreat up in Camp Cherokee. And it's a true to life story of a black man that was sold into slavery. And whatever plantation they took him, he refused to work. He told him, I will not work. You better kill me, because I will not work. And another slave master would come up and would purchase him. And he would tell them the same thing. You're wasting your money, because I will not work. You will kill me first, but I will not work. This went on for some time. And one day another white man came up, and he was at the auction for sale. The white man is studying him. And he said, you don't even look. You're going to waste your money, because I will not work. That white man went ahead still and bought him. And he said, man, you wasted your money. I will not work. That white man had a large amount of property. And he had a home next to his home. And he told that slave, that's your home. He says, don't waste your time. Give me a nice home. I will not work. The man gave him the home and gave him good food and everything. And he's thinking to himself, what's this guy up to? This one is different from the others. And he still kept to his gun. I will not work. That man treated him well. Didn't put him out on any plantation. That's your home. And one day, he sat with that man and the man said to him, you know, he was in protest, I will not work. The man said, I didn't buy you to work. I bought you simply to set you free. And from that day, his tone changed. I will work for you. The man bought his freedom. And he was a free man from there ever since to the day of his death. Freed man. Satan has been a slave master over the human race for a while. And he's treated every one of us very badly. He tried to break our spirits. He tried to break our relationships. He tried to break our homes. He tried to break our families. He tried to break our church. He tried to break our schools. The guy is a break-in. He's a thief. All he does is break and break-ins. But Jesus is a different kind of master. Jesus is a liberating master. He's our kinsman redeemer, and he has bought us at a price. He gave his very life for every one of us. What will our response be to what Jesus has done? You know, due to Adam's and Eve's sin, as the progenitors of the human race, we were all left in slavery, sin, debt, and were a poverty-stricken, landless, stateless people. We were all sold under sin. But one greater than ourselves would have to become our kinsman redeemer to save us. And like the experience in Revelation chapter 4, and you go on to 5, no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was found worthy to save us except the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank God that he became Christ and qualified as our kinsman redeemer. Isaiah 47 verse 4 says, our redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, is the Holy One of Israel. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. He broke the powers of sin, of Satan and death, and conquered the grave and hell for us. Jesus did it with a flawless victory. Satan is a tyrant, but Jesus is tender. Jesus is the almighty deliverer, our kinsman redeemer and blessed savior. Isaiah also says in chapter 49, verses 24 to 26 from the English Standard Version, can the prey be taken from the mighty, or the captives of a tyrant be rescued? For thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken, and the prey of the tyrant be rescued. For I will contend with those who contend with you, and I will save your children. I will make your oppressors eat their own flesh. That's the promise of Almighty God. What do you say about that? God says, I will fight against those who fight against your children. I'm going to redeem the captives, rescue the captives from this tyrant. Even the captives of the mighty shall be taken, and the prey of the tyrant be rescued. I will contend with those who contend with you, and I will save your children. I will make your oppressors eat their own flesh, and they shall be drunk with their own blood as with wine. Then all flesh shall know that I am the Lord your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. And Paul says in Ephesians 2, that classic, beginning in verse 8, Paul says, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And Leviticus tells us, now if a sojourner or a stranger close to you becomes rich, and one of your own brethren who dwells by him becomes poor and sells himself to the stranger, or sojourner close to you, or to a member of the stranger's family, after he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brothers may redeem him, or his uncle's son may redeem him. Or anyone who is near of kin to him in his family may redeem him. Or if he is able, he may redeem himself. I'm going to say something to you. Jesus Christ was not always the Son of God. In the sense that Son of God is a title, a role he took on. He became the Son of God so he can become our brother to redeem us. And I've told people, you're going to have to get rid of texts like Isaiah 9 verse 6. For unto us a child is given. Unto us a son is born. The government shall be upon his shoulder. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. In one text, he's called both Father and Son. The idea of Father and Son are roles that they play. God did not beget Jesus. Except when he was born of Mary. From eternity past, Jesus was eternal God. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing that was made without the Word. And the Word took on flesh. He took on flesh. He was not always flesh. The Word took on flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is no mere prophet. True. Deuteronomy 18:18 called him that prophet with a capitalized P. But Jesus is not a mere prophet. Jesus is no imposter. Jesus is our divine king and God, our kinsman redeemer. There is no other savior from sin in this universe. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Doesn't matter what other religions come up with. They are false and they are fake. Jesus is the only way out. In Acts 4 and verse 12 it says, there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only Savior. My friends, we're nearing home. Christ is about to come again. And he's calling his children to draw near to him. Time on earth is running out. What will be your answer to Jesus Christ? We are here today to celebrate this high service, the Lord's Supper, to reflect truly on what Jesus has done for us. And when we realize the extremity of our sins, when we realize that we cannot pay the debt we owe, I think our hearts will begin to grow warmer towards Jesus, to realize that he paid it all. Wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. So next time you face some trial, don't say this is not what I deserve. You deserve that and more. We deserve the second death. But Jesus paid it all. Sin is a transgression of God's law. He has given us 10 commandments as a holy protective hedge around us. The 10 commandments are not restrictive, they are liberating. Sin is restrictive. Yes, God delivers. Jesus wants to bring us in harmony with his character, which is reflected in those 10 commandments. God has given us the laws of health that we can live by, so we can have happiness now. We can have peace of mind now. We can have freedom in Jesus now. He's given us his 10 commandment moral law. He's given us his laws of health. He gives us those laws to govern our beings. My brothers and sisters, may we surrender all to Jesus today. May we anew and in a fresh way, accept Jesus as our kinsman redeemer. No one else has been found worthy to free us. And Jesus is our deliverer in everything. Temporal, spiritual, Jesus is our all. You want good advice on finances? Search the scriptures. Check what Jesus say. He'll help you to be a good financier. You want good advice on relationship? Check with Jesus. He'll tell you how to go about it. You want good advice about careers and pursuits? Talk with Jesus. He'll tell you where to go. Jesus owns this world. Jesus owns this universe. And you want to tell me he can't tell us the safe path down which to go? Let's go to Jesus about whatever it is. Let's talk with him long enough. Let's give him the opportunity to make the change, the conversion, the transformation in our lives. He really wants to do it. But how badly do we desire it? Our Jesus loves us with an everlasting love. His throne is a throne rooted in mercy, but also rooted in justice. If we follow Jesus, we'll be all right. We'll be fine. We'll do great. Just walk with Jesus. He's our kinsman redeemer. He has bought us at a price. Therefore, let us glorify God in our body and in our minds, in our spirits. They belong to God. What do you say? I'd invite you to stand at this time. We're going to pray. We're going to separate. We're going to wash one another's feet. We're going to come back to the fellowship hall. We're going to see that little presentation of Darlene's baptism. And we have something to present to Darlene at that time too. And then we'll come and sit at the table of the Lord and partake of the emblems that reflect his broken body. What we're going to do now is as important as the emblems. We're going to go to wash one another's feet. Off to my left, there's a large room where the ladies go to wash one another's feet. Off to my right, there's a room where all the men go to wash one another's feet. And then after we're done, we're going to gather right back in that fellowship hall for that picture presentation. And then we'll come here to partake of the ordinances. And we'll close out service after that. So please, participate faithfully. As you wash one another's feet, consider it your mini baptism. Be washed again, that we all can be clean before our Lord. Let us pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, you express to us that every time we do a communion service in honor of you, you say you are in the midst, because by this we show forth your death till you come. Lord, we are here today and we know that we stand in need of a fresh touch from heaven. Cleanse us, Jesus. We're going now to wash one another's feet in the ordinance of humility. As we wash and as we are washed, may it be a symbol, an expression that we have been washed from sins. We have been cleansed from iniquities. We have been washed from unrighteousness. And we are being clothed with the character of Christ. Father, please bless us. And may none of us hang on to our sins beyond right now. But even right now, may we confess our sins in our minds to you. And Jesus, as we do so, we ask now that you take away our sins. Forgive our sins. Cleanse us from unrighteousness. And make us whole. Clothe us in the character of Christ. And may we have a holy time in the ordinance of humility. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.